whatever in there as well. So love it. Thank you. Thank you, Mikey. This is so good to be with you in 2025. My gosh, you made it. Yeah, I know. Some of you are like, you're all future-oriented. You love it. I can't wait. I can't wait for 2025. And some of the rest of you, maybe not a little bit. It's kind of, you're dragging your way into 2025 and everything. How does Christmas go in your guys' family? How many of you are Christmas is over by New Year's people? Okay, like Christmas stuff is down. Okay, a bunch of you are. Yeah, out. Yeah, it's Christmas is gone. Stuff is down and the lights are down and boxes are packed up, whatever. How many of you are Christmas linger people? Anybody Christmas linger people? Yeah, okay, a bunch of you are Christmas linger people. Like, okay, and then we got some looks going on in between couples, which is always really good to see. Because there's always just, you know, it's amazing how many opportunities present themselves for marital counseling, right? Yeah, like asking when the Christmas decorations go off and the elbows start flying. It's fantastic. I love it. But we're in, you know, here we are in 2025. And so as we envision this and we envision our January together, we thought, okay, what are some things here that we can take advantage of the beginning of the year and reset and recalibrate as we enter this new year? And one of those things that we talked about that we kind of dreamt about and we thought would be a great conversation for us in January is, what does it mean to learn from God? So you can see here, this is our title here for the next few weeks, but it's this aspect of saying, how is it that you and I, as people who follow Jesus, become active participants in what he wants to do in our lives and through our lives into the wider world? That has been called a lot of different things, but in a general sense, it's called spiritual formation. It's the character formation that God intends for all of those who follow and believe in Jesus. And so that's what we want to begin to look at. How is it that we can begin to actively participate in what it is that God wants to do in our lives and through our lives in our wider world? And we take that learn from me that you see right here from Jesus, from the scriptures we just read, that this is an invitation that Jesus gives to us. He invites us to learn from him. And it's this really kind of fascinating aspect of the dynamic of a relationship with God that we're going to explore and unpack a little bit. So as we kind of gather around this, as you kind of are going through your mental list of reset and recalibrate and reconfigure in some things, we want to invite us all into this journey that God has invited us into to learn from Jesus. And so at the risk of like, okay, it's early in the year, bro, and my kids have to go back to school and okay, I created not kind of a pithy little sentence. I created a little bit of a paragraph for us to explore this morning. It's not quite a paragraph. It's just kind of a series of phrases. But I thought that it would give some structure to that passage that Mikey just read for us out of Matthew chapter 11. And we're just going to walk along with the flow. And now there's going to be a lot of different places that are drop downs or double clicks or whatever you want to call it that we're going to explore together actually in the next couple of weeks. But for now we want to look at this particular. This little mini paragraph here, because I hope that it does, that it helps us understand what it is that Jesus is communicating here in Matthew chapter 11, and we'll walk it out together. We are warmly invited by Jesus, of course, to learn from Jesus how to live our real lives in the present reality of his kingdom. That's what we're going to be chatting about. It's what we're going to be chatting about here in the next little while. But you can maybe kind of get with that scripture or whatever and walk this through in your head. We're warmly invited, Jesus says, come to me by Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to learn actually from a relationship with him. We'll drop down with that on a little bit. And we're learned to learn from Jesus, not just kind of concepts and constructs and academic stuff or whatever, but how to live our real lives in the presence, in the power, in the resources of the present reality of his kingdom, not left to ourselves, not to our left to our own devices or cleverness or even power and ability, but to his unlimited resources in the presence of the kingdom. So that's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning out of Matthew chapter 11, and we'll just kind of look at each one of those phrases, make some connections, and then use that as a little bit of a template moving forward in our weeks together. But this aspect, I'm going to read the passage again. I think we have it, Roxanne, just to kind of refresh our memory now that we've looked at that. Jesus says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This invitation that we have right here comes, as we've mentioned, through from the very lips of Jesus to come to him, all who are weary and burdened. And it's this aspect that we just looked at of being warmly welcomed by Jesus. That somehow the one that we just sang about, okay, the one who is holy, your name is the greatest, your name is the highest, your name is above them all, right? And we just continue to go through that, and all creation will cry. We sang that in a couple of different songs. That one warmly invites us into relationship with himself. That aspect of personal connection, of winsomeness, of being able to kind of look us in the eye, that ability to be on the ground with us is the invitation that we have from him. That God Almighty, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords invites us into that kind of a relational dynamic. I was thinking about this. Thought about this actually a number of different times. I was I had an opportunity to be a part of a leadership training thing, which kind of sounds grandiose or whatever too, but it was one of those things, you know, helping equip people to do some stuff, and I didn't quite realize that I had the opportunity. The opportunity was before me. The guy who was running this particular thing was someone that I deeply respected, and so I asked about the opportunity. Is this something that is available to people? And I did it kind of sheepishly, and he kind of looked at me and he said, "You've always had permission by virtue of this thing we're a part of. You've always had permission to be a part of this." And I thought, oh, wow, because, you know, again, it's a leadership training thing. I really deeply respected the person who led it and the people who were in it. And I thought, okay. And I realized kind of in that moment something that really, it's had an effect on me, that there's a huge difference between permission and invitation. That you can be, these resources are available. Oh, yeah, you can be a part of this. Anybody who wants to can be a part of that. It's a completely different thing to be invited by someone to be a part of something. It's a completely different thing to have someone say, I see in you this thing or whatever, or I would like you to participate with me, or here's an invitation that I'm presenting to you directly. And that's the point. Jesus isn't just giving us permission. He's giving us invitation. He's looking at the people who follow him, the people who have believed in him, the people that are out there, and he's saying, I am inviting you into relationship with me. And there's a warmth to that relationship that kind of boggles our minds. That it's a warm invitation. Where are we getting that? Well, somehow, Jesus, when he invited people, invited this really wide swath of people, and many of them were not the kind of people that you wanted to interact with if you wanted to climb the social ladder. Am I being delicate enough with this? Yeah. Then, in other words, if you were looking for people who are going to help you look better, these were not the people. Oftentimes they were called tax collectors and sinners. Sometimes a group of harlots was thrown into the mix. But it's a group of people that are way down the scale, and they're way down the religious scale and the social scale of the day. And Jesus hung out with people like that so often that it became an opportunity for the religious leaders to say, this is a pattern of your life. You do this so often that we see it constantly, city after city and town after town. And these people, they would say, are unholy. And so therefore, you must not be holy too. Now, that's an ingrained pattern. That is a habit pattern of the kind of people that Jesus hung out with. Here's the kicker. He hung out with them because they felt the warmth of his invitation. That he had invited them into some kind of a connection, and the connection was so warm, the connection was so winsome to people who were so seemingly far away, that they hung out with him all the time. Every time he could hang out with them, they would hang out with them. At least that seems to be the implication. Where are we going with this? Jesus somehow warmly invites people into this superhuman, on the ground, eyeball to eyeball, wait for it, with a smile interaction. Most of us just had some time with some version of family and friends, right? Maybe you did a Friendsgiving or a friend's Christmas, or you did that. Maybe you're with family. Maybe you're with a whole bunch of different versions of all of those kinds of places. And you had these places where you were looking forward with a great anticipation to connecting. Could have been anybody. New Year's Eve could be your jam. But whatever it was, you were looking forward to being with some people. And the more you looked forward to being with those people, the more it caused you to smile, right? Like, you look forward with the anticipation, and it's like, oh, this is just going to be fun. And of course, you know, you could do the Clark Griswold family vacation Christmas that no Christmas would ever live up to the expectation. That's a separate category, right? But in the midst of that, there's something that just, you just like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to be together. Whoever the we is, you're full of anticipation. One of the things that I've found challenging just in my walk with the Lord at times is to think that I didn't just invent that, and the people that I run around with didn't invent that. That there's something even about the fallen human condition that when we are in a close relationship with people that we love and we care about, we just can't wait to be together and we smile. We got that from someone. You know, that's the way God looks at you and me. You imagine that? You imagine the warmth of Jesus' smile. You know what it's like to have a warm smile, right? You know what it's like to love someone and to long for them, to ache for them, right? Like, you know that. You know that in your bones. You know when it's broken, too. That's a separate conversation. But we know that. Well, we got that from someone. We got that from him, that we are warmly invited into relationship. And it's not just the people who have achieved, or the people who have figured it all out, or the people who know a certain, et cetera, et cetera. It's the people who, well, are regular people, and the people seemingly even that are far away from him. Dane Ortlund, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, describes this aspect of Jesus like this. He said, for all his resplendent glory and dazzling holiness, we've sung about that, right, this morning, his supreme uniqueness and otherness, also sung about that, no one in human history has ever been more approachable than Jesus Christ. No prerequisites, no hoops to jump through. No one in human history has ever been more approachable than Jesus Christ. See, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords invites you and me into relationship with him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, with a smile. With a smile. With a welcome. With an invitation to be in relationship with him. And so for me, as I think about this and I kind of think about the broad expanse and we reset and we recalibrate and we reconfigure things in this beginning of the year, one of the places where I'm starting and I want to start is this thought that the smile that I have for people that I look forward to spending time with, which of course include all of you, all of that came from somewhere and it came from him. That he warmly welcomes and warmly invites us into relationship with him. Now, he invites us into relationship with him to learn from him, okay? This relationship is one in which we are warmly invited to learn from him how to live our actual lives. But we're invited to learn from him. That there is something about the way God move and is moving in human history where this relationship is one where transformation occurs in the gradual way that character is formed. Well, one of the things that is I've reflected on and actually had a little bit of a chat in between services, I'm unaware, and you may be aware, I'm unaware of anyone in the Bible that was whose character was instantly transformed in an ultimate way. In other words, Jesus doesn't seem to miraculously change a person's character into maturity where they leapfrog all of the process. You with me on this? Now, there are other things that he does leapfrog, right? So he instantly healed all kinds of people. He did seem to do that all the time, you know, on a regular basis. I mean, people could touch his garments and be healed. And so he healed people that had an uncleanness. We got this woman with a hemorrhage. He healed in the same instant in Mark's gospel. He healed Jairus' daughter, who apparently was already dead and therefore unclean. He's willing to touch dead eyes. He's willing to touch leprosy and the deadness of leprosy. He's willing to speak to Lazarus. He's willing to touch the widow's the casket of the widow's dead son. He's willing to do really unclean stuff to instantly heal people, but apparently character formation where you leapfrog the process is not something he does. Our interaction in between services. Well, what about someone like the Apostle Paul and the road to Damascus, etc.? And Paul was the one who said in Philippians chapter 3, not that I've already become perfect or already accomplished it at all or I've reached the destination, but one thing I do, I keep pressing on to the upward goal of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, even Paul late in his life from prison said, I'm not there yet. I'm not even close to there yet. But I continue this incredible journey. So Jesus invites us warmly to be in relationship with him and to learn from him in the way that character actually is formed, in this way where we are shaped by him to walk with him in the course of our real lives. And that's kind of the next little section here. In the real life aspect, the real life aspect is that place, are those places where you and I actually live. Dallas Willard has famously written versions of this sentence all over the place, that the question of a follower of Jesus is, how would Jesus live my actual life if he were me or I? Anyway, English people, you can help me with that one later, okay? But how is it that Jesus would live my actual life? So let's just 2025 it with our actual life here for a second, okay? What's before you in 2025? There could be all kinds of different things. It could be that that you are part, as Mikey was talking about, of the baby boom, right? Or you know people who are part of the baby boom. So many of those are first children. That's life change, right? Like that's big life change. It's on the near horizon for lots of people, lots of different kinds of things happening. And together for us as a church community to be able to come alongside and meal train it and support and love and care and do all the things that we can do to be a part of those people's families. And it could be that maybe your kids are a little down the road a little bit, but your kids are kind of in a place where obviously they're a year older from last year, but they're also kind of in a world where they're beginning to make some decisions for themselves. And you as parents are trying to walk it out with them. Maybe you got someone that's like, okay, I don't really know what the best school is, right, for my kids to go to, or how am I supposed to sort that out. For many of you, it may not be a challenge, it may be an opportunity. You look on the near horizon, the company's flourishing, they love you, you love them, you're trying to figure out, do I want to grab this particular brass ring? I realize that if I go to this level in the company, it's going to be a lot. But there are incentives to be able to do that. Like, how do you do that? How do I walk with Jesus? How can I learn from Jesus how to do that? Some of you are kind of in the precipice. I can keep going, I know, but you're on the precipice of retirement. Or maybe you're kind of there and you're making that early journey and you're kind of thinking, okay, so like, what do I do now? And maybe it's kind of a what do I do now, but it's like, okay, what freedom and opportunity do we have to be able to reposition and reconfigure, because I'm off the payroll, but I'm okay. And so now, like, what do I want to give my time and attention to? Because I got a lot of juice, I got a lot left in the tank, I got et cetera, et cetera. And some of you within that conversation are kind of in that place that many couples get to when they retire together, where you desperately need counseling. And the counseling, apparently one of the kind of trigger points for the counseling is how to vacuum a house. Have you heard this a little bit? Yeah. That apparently this is kind of a flashpoint for many couples, because they've never actually been together where vacuuming might occur together. And so there's all kinds of questions in this, right? Because there's kind of like, well, we don't have a Roomba, so we're manual people in there as well, because I'm not going to trust any little Roomba or whatever, and it's probably listening to all my secret desires or whatever and doing weird stuff for that information anyway or whatever. So you got that kind of conflict, right? And then you keep going with that, and it's like, no, vacuuming happens after the entire house has been cleaned. And some of you are like, say what? And others of you are like, no, vacuuming happens last, genius. Yeah, that you've cleaned everything, all the stuff is spilled onto the floor, and then you vacuum it. And some of you are laughing, some of you are throwing elbows, and some of you are saying, where do I sign up for that counseling right now? Because we need it right here. But whatever is kind of going on, you've got a real life, right? And Jesus is inviting us to learn from him how to live our actual real life. What is it that is before us? To interact and engage with him about how it is that the kingdom and the present reality of his kingdom can come to bear on what it is that we are a part of on planet Earth. That's the invitation. So it's not just kind of a pie in the sky kind of a thing. It's also really tangible. It's down on the ground. It's how do we walk this stuff out together? And there's a final aspect here that I just want to mention that we've included here. And it's the how do we live our real lives in the present reality of his kingdom? Because, you know, be honest with you, we could kind of do the first three, and we could go really quickly into problem-solving mode. We could go really quickly into, okay, I want to figure it out. We could go really quickly into, okay, so I'm going to take this, I'm going to take et cetera, whatever, and I'm going to configure, I'm going to recalibrate, I'm going to reset, et cetera, whatever, and I'm going to make a plan. I'm a planner. I got a plan. I need structure. I need a to-do list. I need to kind of way to manage all this kind of stuff. But there's a power that Jesus is making available to us in relationship with him on the ground level of our real lives that is the present reality of his eternal kingdom that he is living in and through us. And he's making available to us who walk with him by faith, by the power of his Spirit and the truth of his word, those kinds of places where character formation can happen in our real life because of the presence of his eternal kingdom. He said it all, a whole bunch of different places. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's right now. It's just invaded. And it is just invaded through the eternal life that Jesus brings and gives to the people who believe in him and who follow him. So for you and me, we are learning to live our real lives in the present reality of people, if you've believed in Jesus, people who already have eternal life. We already possess the eternal kind of life that God has and is moving through us. Now, if that's kind of like, oh, okay, that's kind of a lot to sort out. Well, that's why we're going to talk about this for a little while. But we wanted to see and kind of get our minds blown by who Jesus is, what he's doing, how it is that he is shaping real people, and then say, Jesus, I want to receive your invitation. I want to be warmly, receive your warm invitation to be a part of this and to learn from you. And to not try to short circuit silly little things and not try to hop, skip, and jump and not try to leapfrog and not do all that kind of stuff, but to do things the way you want them done, to participate with you actively in my real life. So I don't have to go find a life and I don't have to have some kind of a title or I don't have to do anything. I just live my real life. Here's my real life. Here's my real family. Here's my relationships. Here's my work. Here's my vision. Here's my desires. Here's my wiring. Here's the way that I think about the world. Here's my experience level. We could go on, right? And I want to live that real life in the presence of your real kingdom. Now, the present reality of that real kingdom is something incredible that God wants to do in the world. With Jesus, when he taught us how to pray, among other places, earlier in Matthew's gospel, he said this. Many of you have memorized this, and maybe you never even intended to memorize this, but what we call the Lord's Prayer, it finishes off with, your kingdom come, remember this, your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. See the present reality of the kingdom? That Jesus is inviting us to pray something like this, that we want to be people who are bringing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We want the present reality of the kingdom to be the kind of thing that is changing us from the inside out and causing us to be people of salt and light in your world, Lord. Okay, well, what does that look like? We're driving home from I don't know where yesterday. And this would be so classic of my amazing, thoughtful, deep wife. Kind of out of the blue, she said, I wonder in the new heaven and the new earth, like what we'll do for work? And how do you think technology is going to work in the new heaven and the new earth? Like, will it be a low-tech analog thing? Will it be a high-tech discovery kind of a thing? Forget the AI stuff or whatever too, because there'll be nothing artificial about it. I mean, that's not an AI slam or whatever too. There'll be nothing artificial about it. But like, what will it be? And one of the things that we kind of said to one another as we kind of reflected on a few of those things is how many things won't be true of the new heavens and the new earth? For example, there will be no locksmiths in the new heaven and new earth. And the reason is, there'll be no locks, right? That there will be nothing to protect from people trying to take it. Jay, what did you just say right there? No men, is that what you said? Okay, yeah. That there will be no need for law enforcement, apparently. Because there won't be any law breaking and law breakers. and there won't be, and there won't be, and there won't be, right? Now, in some ways, it's hard to imagine that kind of a world where there is no fear, right? No one will ever have to watch our six in the new heavens and the new earth. And that's at least in part an appetite whetter for what it looks like for the kingdom of God in the present reality of that to begin to come to bear on earth. So we could go down a million different places with this, right? We just said, okay, Jesus, what if your people loved each other? Because he said, a new commandment I give you, the you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. What would that be like, right? You know, to love with grace and truth and the reality of present lives and some of that kind of stuff. But what would that be like? What would it be like if our relationships were characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control? Like, wow, that was the character that was coming and flowing out of us toward everything in our life. What would it be like to be the kind of people who could forgive and love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you, as one of many places that Jesus talked about? What would it be like if we were the place where malice and slander and gossip and rumors got extinguished? It just went, whoosh, gone. Like, gone. It came to us and they were extinguished. So by some kind of a whatever it is that, but they just were gone. They couldn't even bounce off of us. And on we go. That in the present reality of this kingdom, God can move through the lives of real people to begin to bring that to bear on planet Earth through people who seemingly were far away but welcomed with a smile into Jesus's presence and began this astonishing journey of change in their lives. We could go a lot of different places for that. But that's the invitation, to become part of that, to respond to Jesus's invitation, to be a part of what it is that he is doing and to learn from him how to live our real lives in the present reality of his eternal kingdom. So we're going to continue to celebrate that this morning as we sing and as we celebrate the Lord's table. I'm going to welcome the worship team back up together. And we're going to take a moment. This is kind of the way that we structure it here at Seacoast. If you are new or newer, we are a once a month Lord's table, and we're generally speaking, for the first Sunday of the month, Lord's Table, where we come together and we celebrate what it is that God has done for us in and through Jesus. Jesus says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so what is it that we remember as we remember what it is that God has done? It goes maybe something like this. There's a lot of different ways, right, that we might say this. But that Jesus warmly invites us into relationship with him. That he loves us, and his love is not something that is simply an emotion. It's not just even a deep affection. It's all that kind of stuff. But it also is, in the biblical construct, his action. And his actions were to come and to die for sinful people in order to forgive them and to give them eternal life, because he himself rose from the dead. So as we celebrate his table, we celebrate that warm invitation occurs because of what it is that he has done. That being gentle and lowly doesn't mean that he doesn't care about sin, just the opposite. You don't die for something you don't care about. But Jesus turned the world on its axis by his death and resurrection, so that he can warmly invite people who have been far from him into relationship with him, to learn from him about how to live their real lives in the present reality of his kingdom. So we're gonna invite you, as the worship team plays here, we're gonna invite you to go and to grab the elements and bring them back to your seat, bring them back to your chair if you would, please. And I just wanna encourage you and invite you into a moment with him. And here's this simple, just super simple moment, but I want to invite you into it. I want to invite you to receive the warmth of his invitation to you. I want to invite you to receive his smile, to receive his love, and to say back to him, thank you, before you take the elements. Would you do that, please? Receive the warmth and the genuineness and the approachability of who he is, that he is gentle and humble in heart, and find your rest for your soul in him. Go ahead and grab the elements, come back to your seat, and would you take that moment, and we'll sing together as we close out.